Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. This is Merrick Larwood.
I was just in the middle of a yawn, he did it on purpose.
And I'm
just...
David Reed. You're right.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
We're going to be talking about some films this week. Specifically, we've tried to catch up on some of the best documentary nominees for the Oscars coming up at the beginning of March. We like a documentary, as... regular listeners will know.
Yeah, I do like them.
You like them, good, aren't they? Some of them.
So what did you see then?
Well, there's quite an eclectic list, isn't there? Although they're all quite harrowing, I think. One of the ones I caught up with this week was Dirty Wars.
All right, what's that about? Is it a nappy industry?
Sadly, no. No, it's not.
Okay, let me have some more guesses about what it is. Dirty Wars... sausages.
No.
Not the nappy industry, and it's sausages, not sausages.
Which must mean...
it's about chemical warfare.
Close. No, it's not. It is about warfare, the dirty war that has been fought against terrorism, basically. But, specifically, it's one journalist trying to uncover the truth behind an attack on a... village where that America seemed to deny all knowledge of troops coming in the dead of night and shooting everybody dead, including men and pregnant women.
Where is this?
Now this was because they go all over the place. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Afghanistan.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of this takes place in Yemen, but I think this was Afghanistan. But this starts his process through finding out which organisation did this attack and what it's about. And he
Who is the journalist?
He's an American.
Is he a qualified journalist?
Yeah. He's in fact the guy who broke the Blackwater case in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
Who went before Congress, I think, and asked to know about who Blackwater are and why is America dealing with them.
Killer whales.
That's right. Do you remember Blackwater? the mercenary organisation that America was using. Anyway, he uncovers this shadowy organisation called JSOC,
Sounds like some university society, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the juggling society.
JSOC, yeah. He discovers the juggling
I always hated jugglers, and I knew there was something wrong about jugglers. And JSOC,
Stand lowly goat herds.
It's a front for... jugglers is a front for an undercover terrorist agency.
Yeah, well, they're called the Joint Special Operations Command. And they actually are... at this time, he's discovered pretty much a hit squad for the American government who speak directly to the White House. And during the Iraq War, you probably heard about all of the squaddies were handed a deck of cards, each of which had a potential target that they're looking for.
Yeah,
and JSOC had this as well. But they are a go in, kill the people, get out thing. But there's some very shadowy things going on with this particular attack that starts the whole story, including an account from one of the survivors that not only did they shoot people without question, just immediately, they then came in and dug the bullets out with knives, so there'd be no evidence that it was an American gun that did it or whatever. So he starts to follow the paper trail and basically try
when
and discover what happened.
When did this attack take place and why?
Oh God, you're really taxing my memory. I watched two documentaries in a row.
They all blend into one, don't they?
Well, no, it's just details like that I don't remember. But it basically led up to how much America was using this particular means of doing things, rather than going in with infantry and tanks and everything, just sending in a, you know, focused team to just kill these people that you know you want dead and then withdrawing. You know, you would have thought fewer casualties, fewer blah, 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 but it, because they're so effective and they're secret, they're not public, you know, it's entirely dependent upon your information. If you get the information, if your intelligence is wrong, you are just going to go and kill completely innocent people. And he was going, this is unchecked. They don't have to reply to Congress or, you know, the military or anything. And so he follows it up and he's astonished when it gets to the point of the Joint Special Operations Command are the people who go in and kill Osama bin Laden. You'll have heard of them from that. They're the people that Zero Dark Thirty is about.
Okay.
And by that, post that happening, they become a public organisation that everyone's going, they did brilliant. These guys, they're fantastic. And their budget's grown exponentially. And they now have enormous powers to target people within the United States itself without trial or anything else.
We're not going to get killed talking about this, are we?
Quite possibly. But no, it's from what he says, the list has just grown and grown and grown of who potential targets are. And he follows this particular Muslim preacher, cleric, who is totally against violence at the beginning, pre 9/11. And then as his people are targeted more and more from anti-terror laws, he actually, during the course of the film, turns into a militant. And then JSOC kill him. And then kill his 16-year-old son. And this is the thing that just blows your mind that this is allowed to happen. Because it's like, well, their intelligence was probably, well, we don't want him to turn up, to grow up to be someone who's going to take revenge for the death of his dad. So he's now a potential target. And
that's
this
what,
is
that's what that North Korean bloke does, doesn't he?
Yeah, and this is completely unchecked. They're just doing it, and it comes straight from the White House to them. There's your list. Kill all these people if you can.
Is
and this, you know, it's going on to this day. So it's a very, very interesting, you know, eye-opening account.
And how do you? I think these documentaries are quite fascinating. We'll talk about another one in a minute, which I really enjoyed. But we talked about Blackfish before, which is a documentary on the killer whales.
Yeah.
And you made some very pertinent points, I thought, saying that how it doesn't necessarily, it's all about information when information is used, which is great. And I think the people got access to information now. You can make the change in what's available to cinematographers means you can, you know, on cameras get access and make get footage to things you would never have previously. Did you feel that this was a balanced documentary? Because some of them can feel
it's very tricky, isn't it? I didn't feel it was
okay.
But specifically because of that sort of irony in it, or potential hypocrisy, where his entire sort of diatribe is about the lies we, the public, are being told by the American government and all of this stuff, whilst he only puts this side of the story.
Okay.
Of course, if he's a guy who's trying to uncover the truth about this, and then the people who are going to put the opposite side of the story may well not want to talk to him. I mean, that's entirely possible as well.
Present in the? Did you see the journalist in the actual footage?
Yeah. He goes into incredibly dangerous areas to track down the eyewitnesses who have no voice.
Okay. What concerns me when I watch things, and me being a cynic, or playing devil's advocate, is whenever I see the journalist become a personality within the actual documentary.
Well, that's it. It's about him.
I lose faith in it because
I didn't like that. And that's just a purely stylistic thing. The subject matter aside, you know, which is clearly very important and probably stuff that, you know, we should all know about. But I found him a bit like an American Alan Partridge at times. Just he's been a war journalist for a long time, and you know he's used to going into dangerous situations, and it's an incredibly admirable job. I mean, I don't envy him, but there was just something when he had to speak as he writes in his articles,
yeah,
that came across as a bit self-aggrandizing or false or just not human, in fact, you know. Came across as a bit fictionalizing his life.
I always find that I'm watching some news recently. Yeah, I'm pretty current affairs. I couldn't help, it was a news night or some programme, and a journalist was doing it, and I really noticed that the journalist was present as a personality in the news story, like showing a lot of footage of themselves talking, a lot of when they didn't need to be in shot. And I can't help but think that it is about the ego, and then
he doesn't talk so much. He narrates to link things, but there's a lot of him meeting with people and then nodding along seriously as they talk. There's a lot of, you know, reverse shots. But I don't think, because it's a story of unravelling a mystery, I think you need your detective in that story to really understand that.
Good? Was it good?
I did enjoy it. I thought the subject matter was fascinating. I thought the arguments were delivered very well. I did enjoy it. Now I know about it, and now I know more about this stuff, you know, my appetite's been wet. I will go elsewhere to look for stuff. I won't rewatch this.
Yeah.
But no, I'm definitely interest, definitely relevant. You know, the changing nature of war. Of, you know, you can cut out the collateral damage, but more importantly, probably headlines. If you secretly go in and just wipe out the people you want to wipe out and disappear into the night, it makes more sense for warfare to go that way almost. But because they're covert, who's checking them, and who are they accountable to? And the answer is only the president. Like the retired guys from the military and special operations units and stuff he talks to, whose identities are masked, who say even under Bush didn't give them as much powers as Obama has given them.
Oh, really?
And they've grown huge under Obama.
But these people, I mean, to actually be one of these secret death squad people, must be quite odd thing to realise you're carrying out orders, and, I don't know, it's quite an odd human being to do that. I mean, it's a power to go out and raise a weapon of death.
Yeah, well, he talks to one of these guys, and it's really creepy, where the guy's talking about how they're clearly in the wrong place. Like, the intelligence is wrong. And these guys, some guys have come out shooting, and he's killed them, you know. But he talks about it like, well, they were shooting at me, so of course I had no problem with killing them. Mm. It's like, but they saw you as aggressors, and they weren't, you know, they weren't the enemy, but you're still happy to kill them. Do you not think the first aggressive act was you arriving in the first place? But just no question of that at all. It's just like, well, I was there, they shot at me, so I was allowed to kill them then. Which, of course, you are, if you're an individual, you know, but it's like, this is, but no remorse is the terrifying bit, you know? I'm sort of happy with people trying to survive, but this, that complete absence of remorse is frightening, I think.
So, how many Davies you give it? Is it hard to give it Davies?
It is, you know, it really is. I'd probably give it a 7.
Okay.
I think it's worth watching. I think it is.
And it's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix, Dirty Wars.
Netflix!
Are you the voice of their new slogan?
I think that should be their slogan.
Yeah?
I really need to get some work of any particular, any form. So I'm quite happy to be the voice of Netflix.
Netflix! And as you say it, their red logo slowly fades to a sort of mustardy yellow and then back again as it fades out. I think that would be really nice.
Ah, well...
Netflix!
If you're listening, people of Netflix, I'm really... I'm keen to do that. Hey, do you know what should we go on to letters then? Or do you want
go on, go on.
Okay. Well... Talking about, this is what inspired us, this letter here. It's from Dave Christensen. Hi, David and Marek. Did you want to sneeze?
Nope.
Hi, David and Marek. Hi. And let's get on with the letter. I've been put off writing in again after my last email was in a pervert voice. Thanks, Marek. It really made what I'd written sound crap. Please don't do that again. It seems that lately all I've been doing is upsetting people.
It is, isn't it? And you're doing it again. You are reading it in a pervert voice again.
Oh. Anyway, here's Dave Christensen. Anyway, And he says anyway as well. That was his first thing. I was meeting anyway. And yet in the letter, he says anyway as well. Right. That may have influenced me saying anyway.
Great.
Anyway, yeah. Let's carry on the letter.
Okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to point you towards a couple of documentaries currently available on Netflix, The Square and Dirty Wars, and that's what we're reviewing today. Both of them are nominated for Best Documentary Oscar this year, so I think are worth the watch. In particular, I love The Square, which is, interestingly enough, a Netflix-produced film, apparently. The way it covers the recent uprisings in Egypt is seemingly balanced and interesting, and the way it focuses on a small group of Egyptians who have different beliefs and backgrounds but come together with a desire for change is moving and really draws you into the story. There's probably better documentaries on Netflix, like maybe Dreams of Life, Mia Maxima Culpa, Indie Game and Bowling for Columbine, but I want to point you towards this in the direction of these, as it is Oscar season. From everything I heard, though, it seems The Act of Killing is almost bound to win Best Doc Oscar and sound like a must-watch. I haven't seen it yet, but that sounds...
Not yet. Act of Killing is apparently about taking Indonesian death squads back to the scenes of their crimes and making them act them out. Sounds horrific and fascinating. I'm going to watch that one.
It's on iTunes.
And Blinkbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
In other Oscar-related... Dave Christian's letter... In other Oscar-related talk, The Hunt is up for Best Foreign Language Film. I've seen that. It's very good.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, and that's about it, really. That was quite a long email. Please don't read it all out in the Perfect Voice again. The Hunt is very good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's quite harrowing. Mads Mikkelsen's an amazing actor.
He's brilliant, isn't he? I saw his brother was in Sherlock, that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A Royal Affair is also another great film that Mark Kermode picked out as his film of the year. And also, what was the other one that he picked out that I couldn't remember that I hated? I can't remember again. Anyway, that's thank you, Dave Christensen. All right, you know, just chill out a bit, mate. I'll guess who's written in.
Is it Chris Webb?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna read it.
What should I do it as?
Do it, just do it normal, because people are starting to have a problem with our voices. Okay. Well, particularly me. You're fine.
I'm fine. Dear buddy David and Merrick, seeing as I've only seen two of the films in the entire Oscar nominations list, Best Foreign Language Film The Hunt and Best Animated Short Room on the Broom, I haven't got a clue which is going to win in any of the categories. But I like certificates with my name on, so I'll give it a go anyway. Best Picture, 12 Years a Slave, Best Director, Gravity, Best Actor, Bruce Dern, Best Actress, Cate Blanchett, Best Supporting Actor, Michael Fassbender, Best Supporting Actress, Jennifer Lawrence. I haven't been in touch for a while because, as you suggested, I've been seeing another movie podcast on
what?
On the side. But the smug and opinionated Mayon Commode couldn't keep me away from Film Fandango for long. You're welcome. Happy New Year, Chris. P.S. As Anne Coletta, Jean-Diel Coletta, has asked that David read stuff in my accent, you might want to try a cross between Christian Bale and David Gray. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
As they're both from Pembrokeshire, the same side of Wales as me. David Gray. Who knows what David Gray sounds like?
I just know he just moves his head. That's all he's famous for, isn't it?
Christian Bale sounds like that. And David Gray sounds like... So I don't know how you'd combine those two.
Just do Nelson Mandela.
If you want it, come and get it. Sounds like that alien from Men in Black.
That is played by David Gray and Christian with a sore throat.
Thank you, Chris Webb. Sorry I didn't attempt your voice. It sounded too complicated. But that is the first of our submissions for people's guesses for the Oscars list. So we are running a competition that whoever gets the most right out of Best Picture, Director, Actor, Actress, Supporting Actor and Supporting Actress sends them to our email address, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. We will make you a lovely certificate with your name on it to print out.
They've got to print it out themselves?
Yeah, we're not going to print it out. I think we're made of money.
Okay.
We're going to put it online for them to print out at home.
I still need to see about three more films to... complete my Oscar film watching.
Okay. Yeah. I need to see more as well. I want to see Dallas Buyers Club and Her.
Yes.
Great.
Nice.
Thank
one.
You, Chris. Well, we have both seen another documentary as
well. Yes, so Dave Christensen mentioned The Square, which is also on Netflix. I don't know if it's produced by them.
They're making good stuff at the moment.
There's a golf film that's terrible.
Oh, really? They're also making terrible stuff at the moment.
So the square, I think you probably do a better job explaining it than me.
It's basically following the revolutionaries from the revolution in Egypt that happened recently. Is it Tahrir Square, I believe?
Tahrir Square.
Tahrir Square. And God, it's the names that escape me.
Khalid Ahmed and something like that. It follows different revolutionaries who have different beliefs.
But it starts with the getting rid of the fascist regime of their president.
Which was in 2011, and everyone did sitting in the square.
In the square outside the palace, basically, isn't it? And it's a huge square, completely filled with people just camping out, an incredible sort of love-in, really, like a festival atmosphere.
Well, it was great because they had the Christians and the Muslims and the Brotherhood of...
the Islam.
Islam. Is that right?
The Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood is it, yeah. They, all together, it's trying to get rid of President Mubarak in, which is actually long for Marek.
Is that right? Is that Marek short for?
Yeah. Back in 2011, and then...
I might start calling you Moobs then.
That'd be nice, yeah. And then after that, they all sort of vacated the square, the army took over, and... there to do another revolution, try and get rid of the army taking it.
Yeah, because once they'd got rid of Mubarak, the army basically completely betrayed them and said, yes, we're on the side of the people, we will oversee the fairer democratic elections, and then corruption happened, basically.
We should explain that is Buddy, the film Fandango dog.
Who knows he's not allowed to bark, but he's really trying to stop it because he's heard another dog barking.
Another dog is barking. Or maybe he's really angry about the army taking over. And then it follows the fact it's basically three revolutions. So after they realise they haven't changed anything but ousting the president first of all, so it's the same regime, the same people.
Yeah.
So their revolution has been ineffective, and then they have to carry on going through trying to depose the different leaders of the country, which do the same thing because the country is so entrenched in this old corrupt system. I thought this was a brilliant piece of filmmaking.
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing. And actually what you were saying about didn't have the documentary maker in it. It just followed these subjects, which I thought was
brilliant. One's just this young man who just believes in the revolution, really, and it follows. And then they also, there's a singer they follow for a bit, and then they follow Khalid or Ahmed, I can't remember, who is an actor from Egyptian descent who is known for the Kite Runner.
Yeah.
And he sort of speaks in English as part of it, and they follow a member of the Muslim Brotherhood as well, who has different, and so their interests change over the course of it. What's fascinating about this is just a hands-on account, which could not have been done. And I mentioned before about 10 years ago, and they filmed on like a 5D, a 6D, so a camera, so like a stills camera, which you can film on.
Yeah.
So they managed to get away filming things in situations where they couldn't have done, where it would be, because it looks inconspicuous. People think, it's a camera, that's bad, but they're not filming things on a film camera. So people act differently, they get candid moments, so many great moments, and it is terrifying and moving at the same time.
Yeah.
And you get the sense of being right on the front line, which you don't in news stories.
No.
You don't, even when you have a cameraman doing it, you don't have that sense of, you feel it's a news crew filming this. It's just the people reacting to, you know, just a military attacking them in the streets.
It's
incredibly moving.
It's so frustrating as well to watch, because you've got just the actual nuts and bolts, the real warts and all of revolution and trying to change anciently corrupt ways. Amazing.
It's great to see revolution happening now, have it on film. And if I was at school, so the first thing I'd do to show my history students, whatever, they should watch this in school. So this is what happens and how you're, it may be a revolution, but is it really a revolution only in name rather than, and how people change, how, and politics and how they work and how people try and are fighting for different things and compromising. But some of the footage when they show people's bodies who've been run over by tanks, and there's one awful image of someone's face crushed. You just see it happening, just quick moments. The tank just ploughing into people, and then dead, gone.
But from a storytelling point of view, it's sublimely done by following these specific individuals as well. I mean, so you see it through their eyes as well. You live it through their frustrations and their pain, and I think that's really important for it not to be, just graphic.
And there's a friendship between the member of the Muslim Brotherhood and one of the revolutionaries. I think it's Khalid, or I can't remember the, who is...
And Mahdi, isn't it?
Yeah. This, I can't remember, I'm sort of, apologies, I can't remember his name's Ahmed or Khalid, the young guy who's a sort of spokesman for this court. He's such a brilliant speaker.
Yeah, he is.
He's about 24, 25 years old, something like that, but he's, the way he, you see him engaging and talking to people about what he believes and the passion is inspiring.
Yeah.
And uplifting as well. I thought it was, I was entranced by it, I think. But, and pleased that you can have these, we can now, filmmaking at its best is a way of telling history from different stories. I thought it was really powerful stuff.
Yeah. How many Merricks would you give it?
9.
Yeah, I'd give it 9 Davids as well.
When you see news stories and you think news is presented in the same way, and after a while, I knew this was going on, I didn't really read up on what's happening. You don't understand. Well,
It made me realise just how little journalism goes into the news.
Yes.
Where they've not talked to anyone. They just rock up with their makeup department and their suit, stand in front of it, and then say whatever press release they've been handed, basically. You know? It's like the government is saying this, the people are saying this, we've not done any research, we're going to leave now. I mean, that seems to be all the... Or they might try and upset someone, so they get someone being angry or crying, and that's it.
Mm.
But this, you actually get a sense of what's really happening and the issues and the complexities of it all as well.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating. It's not, you know, that everything is not... And this isn't even an hour and a half version of this... of some a very, very complex issue.
Yeah.
And you know that there's a lot of prior things have gone that have influenced people. Everything's so complicated. But you don't get that. There's a revolution. You can't believe this is happening in 2013. Last year, this is happening in... You know, it's an African country. But I've been to Egypt. I was in Egypt in the 90s. It's quite a westernised modern country, and this is still happening. It's great that this that your filmmaking can be like this now, and also shows the power of YouTube, that people can they can spread these things, they can show these videos.
Well, the power no longer goes exclusively down lines of money,
yes,
and political influence. You know, the people have the ability to tell their story as well, as long as it's passed on. I mean, that's It's exciting. But no, very good. I'm very glad I watched this. I hope it wins. I've not seen the others, actually, obviously. But
yeah, I was really impressed by this. And it's quite odd after watching a lot of the Oscar-nominated films and being underwhelmed.
Yeah.
I thought this was really refreshing. And it felt... These films trying to create a sense of drama. I think I talked about it before. Like The Wolf of Wall Street is a retelling of a... which I reviewed last week, of a modern story, and you see this is actually happening, and the people fighting, and you can see the strain and the fear on the people's faces, thinking they might die to fight for their beliefs. It's just a different it's on a completely different spectrum for me, I think.
Yeah
And that's what good documentary should be like.
Yeah.
I don't know I don't want to see another documentary to get to judge what is the balanced view of what happened. But it's a really refreshing on-the-street view.
Well, it's very hard to get a balanced view, isn't it? Because they do interview people from different points of view whenever they can.
But the
all
army
of the others just seem really like... They all just seem like complete liars, just bald-faced liars, or psychopaths, as in people who don't care what happens to people. At all.
Well, it was an army, a member of the army, the military, and was saying that someone's showing a bullet wound and them saying, oh, it's not an army bullet.
Yeah.
Well, who else was it? Just flat out denial. And
but instantly, without actually looking at it at all, he's just looking at a photo, won't even pick it up, won't even touch the photo to be associated with the photo. He's just like, that doesn't look like an army bullet from here, you know, 3 feet away from the photo, first glancing at it.
Yeah.
And he's not even an army man, he's a PR man. So it's just like, oh, God. It's, I mean, yeah. You're not going to get a balanced view when it is so one-sided, I think. When they are just corrupt, that is the...
And you see it on the street, and one of the revolutionaries makes quite a relevant point, that is the poor people who are affected.
Yeah.
They're the ones who die. They're the ones on the street, not the politicians who make these decisions and say, and make sweeping statements and order the military. That you don't see... They can't ever know what's happening unless they see what's happening on the street. It was... very inspiring to see something so a documentary was felt so vibrant and alive.
Yeah. Well, that's two of the Oscar nominations for Best Documentary, The Square and Dirty Wars. As we said before, you can catch them both on Netflix or wherever you can find them.
Please keep writing in, though.
Yes. Tell us if you've seen any of the nominations for other stuff, foreign films as well. We'd love to hear about animated shorts, whatever. If you've seen them, we will never get time to watch them all, so help us out. If you'd like to get in touch about anything, then email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or write on our Facebook page, /filmfandango, or tweet us at filmfandango.
Yes, all of those. And if you, this is a free podcast, if you want to donate to help us pay for having it hosted on our Libsyn web provider, David does all this stuff, which we have to do make sure that our podcasts stay on there for each month. We'd really appreciate it if and thank you to everyone else who's thank you to everyone who's donated.
But if you'd like
just
to donate,
say that bit next
go
time.
To filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. We'll be back next week with more films.
Keep watching
the films. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.